In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to Gaudete Sunday. It is said that it takes a big man to wear pink on the third Sunday of Advent. Good news, you have the biggest priest in the diocese. All joking aside, we come to the Gaudete Sunday every year, the Sunday of refreshment. And I try to figure some way of expressing what I see in the world being carried out by the gospel. This year, I've actually been given a really special gift that I want to share with you. Christ talks about the blind seeing and the deaf hearing, the lame walking, the orphan and widow being taken care of. As you know, Jen and I, going through adoption, have begun the RAPT training, R-A-P-T training. We've been through our first two classes. The first class was actually really incredible. It really did a great deal to lift my spirits, and I want to share that story with you. As you can imagine, Jen and I were rather nervous about attending these classes. They were held in Gary. There were a total of 10 of us. You think it's hard to wear pink? Man, there was a couple that walked in, woman dressed to the nines, very well off. The guy is wearing this really sleek, double-cuffed black shirt, obviously well off, and wore the goofiest pants you have ever seen in your life. What were they? Red, black, white, and gray, tiny check pants. Not like herringbone or anything like that. I mean, it was like a golfer's worst nightmare. It was great. It was funny. So that was one of the couples that was there. There was another younger couple that was there. There was one woman who was black and was waiting for a business partner that was there alone. There was another black woman who was alone. There was two individual white women that were alone attending the class. Total, there was 10 of us. We had two teachers that were fantastic. One of the things they asked us to do when we began that class was to give a little bit about ourselves, obviously, you know, because every day, every time you have a first day of class, stand up and tell us about yourself, because we all want to do that. But, you know, they wanted to know why we were there. And there were some fascinating stories involved. Two of the couples in particular were there for similar reasons as Jen and I. They were there for adoption. They had family members that, through some issue, needed a stable home. Either they had lost their parents or whatever. So there was two families there that were actually doing that. One woman was there who had had her daughter living with her and her granddaughter living with her for quite a while. She was a single person. She wanted to foster. She wanted to foster because she was an empty nester, had the room, and didn't want to be alone. On the surface, that seems a little odd. But this woman who lived alone still wanted to take unknown kids into her home. You had another woman who wanted to basically start kind of a foster home. She and her husband had what they call a hobby farm. There were ponds for fishing. There were animals to take care of. There were a small amount of crops to deal with. You know, kids actually get the joy of being around animals, the responsibility of taking care of them and everything else. Again, fascinating story. Here's where the rubber hits the road. There was a young black woman who was the one that was waiting for her business partner. The reason she was waiting for her business partner is she wanted to start a group home. She, through the process of the class, we come to find out, had been abused, which caused her to go get her therapy license. So she was fully registered therapist. The other single black woman, same thing. She had been abused. She was taking the RAPT classes and was going through a group that was specifically designed for at-risk kids, basically. Another therapy home is what she wanted to start. It was so inspiring to see these two women talking about these group homes with the passion that they had. They had fantastic questions. We began to understand that there were four levels of kids. There's level one, level two, level three, and level four. You go into normal foster care, and most of the time you get level one and two kids. These are kids that are fairly well behaved. They're fairly normal. They haven't had a lot of trauma in their lives. They're just kids. You almost never get a level three put with you because they're kids that have significant problems and significant trauma. Or they have medical issues that require pretty intense care. Then you have the level four kids. The level four kids are almost unmanageable. They've been usually kids that are passed around. They are kids that maybe were sexually trafficked. They were kids that were definitely abused and have lived through traumatic experiences. Oftentimes kids that have lost their parents. Kids that have maybe been forced into drug dealing. This sounds really bad, doesn't it? What does that have to do with Gaudete Sunday? The gospel of the Lord says, John went to Christ. Are you the one we are to wait for? Go back and tell John that you see the blind see again. That you see the deaf hear again. That the lame are walking again. The lepers are cured. These two young women have dedicated their lives because of the things that they went through in helping others that have gone through the same things deal with it. That's amazing. That's incredible. That restores my hope. And it should yours too. They are carrying out the work of God. Everyone in that room was carrying out the work of God in a real and tangible way, taking care of those that are most vulnerable, most in need. In essence, healing the blind and the lame, healing the broken and the fearful. Amazing, amazing thing. Not without its nerve-wracking or anything else. You know, not without its discomfort. But to see people step up and want to engage in the most vulnerable is an incredible thing to see. We've been given a booklet. You get a booklet with kids' faces in them. Honestly, the danger is they turn into Pokemon and you want to collect them all. We don't have that kind of land. We don't have that kind of money. But you go through and you look at these kids, and you want, you know, your heart goes out to all of them. You reach out and want to help all of them. And a realization sets in. You can't help all of them, but you can help one of them, two of them, three of them. Which reminds me of a line from a movie. It's a more recent movie. It's I think the first Justice League movie. It has Batman. They actually recruit the Flash. The Flash, of course, you know, is, you know, the fastest guy on Earth. And they get into a battle, and the Flash has never really been in a battle. So he asks Batman, "What do I do?" Batman turns to the Flash and says, "Just save one. Just save one." The Flash goes, "Okay, all right, I can do that." You know, he's jumpy and jittery. "I can do that." And he stops and he goes, "Then what?" Batman's response is brilliant. "Then you'll know." Simple as that. "Then you'll know." John's disciples say to Christ, John asks, "Are you the one we are to wait for, or is it someone else?" Christ responds by saying, "The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, lepers are cured. See and listen, and then you'll know." How does this tie into the poem that we started Advent with by Longfellow? The final lines: "God doth not sleep, nor is he dead. How do I know? Because I went to a rapt training class and saw people that were badly used by the world reach out and save others that are being badly used by the world." Is the kingdom of God near? Pay attention, and you will know.